So firstly, if you could give me some of your impressions of the coverage of the case in Ferguson, particularly on the part of the cable news networks.
What we're seeing is pretty typical and standard kind of coverage where, you know, you have an instance that, you know, I think attracts a lot of people's attention, and, you know, the way they go about covering it tends to be consistent with other coverage of race in the United States, and especially race and crime. You tend to see two images, one of sort of black success by politicians, by people in the entertainment industry, athletes, things like that, and the other of violent criminal behavior by black men, and very little coverage that helps explain, you know, what's going on in the society, and that it, you know, I think it ends up harboring contemporary racist attitudes that I think a lot of white Americans want to believe that, you know, we aren't in a racist society and that those things are behind us. But on the other hand, why is this behavior going on? You know, as far as news media and other media, I don't think they're giving us much in terms of explaining what else is going on in the society, what's happened historically, socially, you know, our public education system, substance abuse, so that there are, you know, a lot of problems that news media, I think, don't know how to cover that would help explain what's going on in the culture.
And in terms of this specific case, there are elements of the case that are in the public domain, such as photographs of the crime scene and some eyewitness accounts. How much of an attempt has there been to analyze this information and also the concept of the grand jury in the mainstream media?
I think some. I mean, I'm seeing some of that, but, you know, looking at the New York Times and Washington Post, where I think they're doing a little more to try to tell what's going on. But, you know, in terms of the cable news or the network television newscast, I think they just keep coming back to these same sort of simple explanations and representations that they're familiar with.
So in terms of concrete examples of the kind of stereotypes that have been coming out in the coverage, what kinds of images and words have been repeatedly recycled in terms of the particularly television coverage?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, immediately after it happened, the images that we were seeing of Michael Brown as kind of this menacing figure, you know, I think the news media backed off of those to some degree, but I think initially that was this image that's consistent with a lot of what we see in television news. And then since then, I'm not seeing the journalists do a very good job of analyzing the situation, you know, a white cop and an all-white police force in a mostly black town. I don't think it does nearly enough to go into how bad a situation is where you have these racist police forces in these communities, you know, where they routinely treat African-American, especially young black men, very badly. And I think that their first reaction is almost always going to be a bad one.
I wanted to pick up on something you said about a post-racial society, these two almost dichotomous representations of black people in the US, in the mainstream media. But online, racism is still loud and clear. There's a hashtag that's been trending, chimp out, chimp, of course, referring to chimpanzees. Do you think that this notion of post-racial society is actually just a veneer for racism?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think that it's purely a myth and that American politicians can use this to, you know, advance their own agendas. You know, I think that the political resistance to Obamacare and to the immigration reform and those things, I think, are all heavily influenced by his race. Social media does provide a little bit of insight into it. I think the other side of social media is that we saw the hashtag, if they gunned me down, where young black people were posting two photographs of themselves. And this happened right after the Michael Brown shooting, where one photo would show them in a less than angelic pose, like the pose that they were using of Michael Brown initially, and then one with them in, you know, military uniforms or graduation attire or something like that. And the point was, if they gunned me down, which photo would the media use? So it's, I think, young black people recognizing that these representations are out there and are hugely problematic. You know, I think there's that side of social media, too. I'm not sure if it's been that effective in terms of creating a really, really big national movement that, you know, I think still would be useful in this country to resist racism.
Dr. Chris Campbell, thank you very much for your insights.
Okay, thanks.